Two gods, two powers, absolute powers. Can we add up both powers and it becomes double power? If that's the case, then they were not absolute, they were not attributed with absolute power before. That means that power was not absolute, because now it's more. And if they can't, then it's nonsense. More than that. Partnership and association. If there are two gods, that means there are two partners, or they're two associated. They're two people, or two things, two entities, whatever they want to call them. But partnership and association is a sign of weakness and sign of need. How? If you all have a business, if you have a business, when would you have a partner? When you're in need. In need of his money, or in need of his opinion, or in need of his work, his efforts. If you don't need his work, if you don't need his money, if you don't need anything, then why would you have a partner? You wouldn't have a partner. And actually, most people, when they get with a partner, what do? They wait till they have some money, then they kick him out. I don't need you anymore. Huh? Why? Isn't it true? Because I don't need you. There's no need anymore. So therefore, what do I conclude from this? An association and partnership is a sign of weakness and interdependability. And since God must be attributed with the attributes of perfection, and He is, as we said, As-Samad, who is not in need of anything, and everything is in need of Him, therefore He cannot have an associate, and He cannot have a partnership. Impossible. Therefore, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَا إِلَّا اللَّهِ. If they say, there are two gods, then can one of them buy the other out? Either he can or he can't. Either he's going to say, look, you know, there's two of us here. How about I buy you out? Either he can buy the other one out, or he cannot buy him out. If he can buy him out, then that one is useless. He cannot be God. Because God must be needed. And this other one is not needed. Huh? Tayyib. It's okay, you can hear me that way. Huh? Tayyib. Attribute of makhluq. Changes. You see? Taghayyur. The makhluq always changes. But the khaliq never changes. Subhanallah. If he can buy him out, then the other one, okay, you buy him God out, then he's loses. Nothing depends on him. If he cannot buy him out, then the first God, then he cannot do everything he wants. You cannot buy him out. If there are two gods and there aren't, then can one God hide things from the other one? If he can hide things from the other one, then the other one does not know everything. And he's supposed to know everything. Allah, God, must know everything. How can something be hidden from him? Then he doesn't know everything. Now, if the first God cannot hide anything from the other God, then he's incapable of doing whatever he wants. And therefore, he cannot be God. Therefore, there's only one God. فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And if the people say, well, let's say, well, both gods have the same opinion, the same wills, everything the same, then let me say this. Can one of them manage the universe without the other one, or he can't? That's the question. If he can manage the universe without the other one's help, then the other one is useless. There's no need for him. And therefore, he cannot be God. No need. And that contradicts the term As-Samad. He must be needed. Everything depends on him. If he cannot manage the universe without the other one, then he's a debilitated God. He's a weak God. He cannot do anything. He cannot do what he wants. Therefore, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَا إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And there's only one Lord. And he is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think this should be clear. Jazakallah khair. Clear? طيب. صلوا على رسول الله وعلى. Another thing is, another attribute is al-hayat. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Hay.
What do we mean by hay? We mean that is, he's attributed with life. What do we mean by life? We are attributed with life, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is attributed with life. Then what's the difference? Now by now, since you've been in these Tawheed lectures for many hours now, you accumulated over the past few days, you can tell, number one, remember these five sifat that we said? Our life, Allah's life, attributed with life, His life is eternal, everlasting, not created, not subject to change, not similar to the creation. You just answered everything, that's it. Number one, life is eternal, everlasting, not created, not subject to change, and not similar to the creation. We live because Allah wills for us to live. We don't live because we are supposed to live, or we have a right to live. We live because the Creator created for us all these circumstances, and oxygen, and plants, and green, and water, and all these things. And notice that all these creations, they all depend on each other. All the creations. You depend on your brother, you depend on your environment, you depend on the soil, you depend on the trees for your food. How do you eat? You depend on the animals. You depend on the moon, you depend on the stars. And I don't mean by dependence, that means you're depending in the term of khaliq. No, you're depending. There's interrelation. I'll say to you this in tafsir, that Musa alayhi salam, even though this is a khabar, and a khabar means it's not authentic necessarily. That means it could be yes, it could be no. But the scholars mention it just so it sheds some light for us, it broadens our horizon. That Musa alayhi salam, when his time came to die, to pass away basically, really, because the term death, we don't know it in Islam. There's no really death per se, death elimination, there's no such thing. It's just a change of state from one universe to the other universe, basically. It's a transition. But when his term to pass away from this earth, from this universe, from this kaun, from this life, hayat, Musa alayhi salam came, Israel alayhi salam came to him. Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam. What are you coming here for? You know. He said, give me some time. Why? You know, you can't tell Israel that. When he comes, he says, Assalamu alaikum, that's it. He said, why do you want... Because he said, I want to just make some thought about my offspring, my family. What are they going to do after I die? Allah told Israel, or Malak al-Maut, the angel of death, he told him, take Musa right away, take him to the ocean. He took him to the shore of the ocean. And he said, Imam al-Tabari narrates this in his tafsir. And he told, so Malak al-Maut is telling Musa alayhi salam, he's telling him, look, and all of a sudden, Musa alayhi salam sees an ant carrying a grain and going to the shores. And all of a sudden he sees an animal and the ant dropping this grain right at the shore, because the ant does not go in the water. And an animal out of the sea, little animal, comes and carries this grain and goes all the way, hides in the water. And then Musa alayhi salam sees another thing goes and the grain goes all the way to the depth of the bottom of the ocean, and some other animal eats it. The angel of death tells Musa alayhi salam, tells him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has this little worm or this little creature in the depth of the ocean that is dependent on this fish to bring her the grain. This fish takes it from this little other sea creature that picks it up from the ant, and the ant picks it up from the ground. They all depend on each other, and they all depend on Allah. Therefore, you see, the creation is interrelated. You depend on the sun. You need the sun. You need the moon. So I don't say depend. Some people say depend. You really need the sun. You need the moon. You need all these things. And you need the earth. You need the trees.
And all in all need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَكُونُ إِلَّا مَا يُرِيدُ. Al-Imam Tahawi said, لَا يَكُونُ إِلَّا مَا يُرِيدُ, which means nothing happens except what he wills. Nothing happens except what he wills. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُ مَا يُرِيدُ. Allah does what he wills. His will is executed. And nothing happens except by his will. Your will not be executed unless it is his will for it to be executed. We follow? Therefore, Hadith Qudsi, Sallu ala Rasulullah. And the second time. And the third is a charm. Or the fourth is a charm. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. But in Islam we like odd numbers, so let's make it a fifth. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Al-Hadith al-Qudsi says, Allah Jalla wa ala say, Abdi, oh my slave. Allah is talking to us. Abdi, anta turid wa ana urid. You want and I want. You want things and I want things. Anta turid wa ana urid. Walan yakunu illa ma urid. And nothing will happen except what I want. Allah is telling you this. You want. Nowadays, everyone, now, what do you want? Oh Allah, I want to have a nice jaguar. I want to, inshallah, may Allah give you all jaguars. And if you don't like jaguars, Range Rovers. I prefer Range Rovers. But maybe Jaguar for a weekend, you know. But then also what you want beside that, I want a house. You want so many things you want. But Allah tells you, you want and I want. And be certain, Allah is telling you, وَلَنْ يَكُونْ. Be certain that nothing will happen except what I want. You always have your will fighting, remember? Yeah, I want this, I want this, Submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives you what you want. Therefore, Allah says, Abdi, ana urid, wa anta turid, wa lan yakunu illa ma urid. Fa'in ata'tani fi ma urid. Look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. Allah is saying to us now, if you, O slave, O my slave, if you obey me in what I want, a'taytuka ma turid, I will give you what you want. You want, and I want. And nothing will happen except what I want. If you obey me in what you want and what I want, I will give you what you want. وَإِن لَمْ تُطِعْنِي فِي مَا أُرِيدُ أَتْعَبْتُكَ فِي مَا تُرِيدُ. And if you don't obey me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, if you don't obey me in what I want, I will make you struggle in what you want. You will struggle to get what you want. وَلَنْ يَكُونُ إِلَّا مَا أُرِيدُ. And at the end, nothing will happen except what I want. Oh my slave. I want and you want. And nothing will happen except what I want. If you obey me in what I want, I will give you what you want. And if you disobey me in what I want, you will struggle trying to get what you want, but nothing will happen except what I want. So therefore submit to Allah. If you submit, nowadays, if your son gets sick, or if your brother or sister gets sick, first thing you say, oh, yell, where's the doctor? Call the doctor. First thing comes to your mind, where's the doctor? What happened? Where's the two rak'ah? Why do you say Allah? Oh Allah, may give him shifa. Who gives shifa? The doctor gives shifa? Shifa bay. Who gives shifa? Does shifa give shifa? The shifa only can pray for the real shifa to come. Shifa is a creation. And the doctor is a creation. And the creation cannot give anything. The only one who can give is Allah, the Creator. So when we are in need, Allah tells you, ask me. Why do you ask somebody else? Nothing will happen except what He wills and wants. And this is al-irada. Al-irada. Irada means the will. طيب. Then Imam Tahawi says, صلوا على رسول الله. لا تبلغه الأوهام ولا تدركه الأفهام. لا تدركه. It means no imaginations can conceive him, and no understanding can comprehend him. No imaginations can conceive him, and no understanding can comprehend him. Why? Because if your imagination, which is limited and created, and it has a beginning and it has an end, and it's subject to change because it evolves, so you can know more tomorrow than today, and it is a created thing, it's similar to everybody else, it's impossible for it to conceive an entity that is has no beginning, has no end, not created, not subject to change, not similar to the creation. Your imagination can only imagine something familiar to it, something it can relate to, something that is a creation per se. It can never conceive the Creator. It's an impossibility. Because if the Creator is conceived in the creation, that means the Creator is limited. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not limited. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, said in the Quran, again, nothing is like him, which means, or actually Allah said, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِي شَيْءٍ, which means, nothing is like him, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Imam Tahawi said, then, وَلَا يُشْبِهُ الْأَنَامِ. وَلَا يُشْبِهُ الْأَنَامِ. It means, he does not resemble, not here, this, not the creation, the creation as much, he does not resemble the human beings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not resemble the human beings. This is a point of emphasis. And the reason for that is, of course, Allah says in the Quran clearly, nothing is like him. And among the things are human beings. And says, لَيْسَ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ, has no similar. The nations before us, after their prophets came and gave them the da'wah, they went and deviated into believing after a while that Allah looks like the creation. And therefore they formed idols based on that. And nowadays, if you see like old drawings from the idols, you see it looks like a man. You don't have to look at drawings. Look at what cartoons and some movies nowadays, until 2003, coming 2004. How do they perceive the Creator? They picture him, an old man, human being shape, beard, sitting on the clouds. Islam came for the sole purpose of tawheed, to tell people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not resemble the human being in any way, shape, form or fashion. And this is what we call in the science of Aqidah and Tawheed, we call it anthropomorphism. Anthropomorphism, anthropo comes from anthropology, which means what? The human being, right? Life or the seerah of the human being, really. Anthropology. And morphism comes from morphology, which means the shape. So anthropomorphism, those who shape and envision a shape for the Creator similar to the human being. And this is called tajseem in the Arabic language. Tajseem comes from the word jism. Jism means body.
and believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like a body, wal-iyadu billah. Of course, this is kufr. Not only is it kufr, it's negating the entire tawheed from its essence. Because tawheed came to say that the creator, nothing is like the creator. And if it's a body, then there's something like him. Body, I have a body, you have a body. Body consists of limbs and organs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like we said, He's ahad, does not consist of things, which includes bodies and organs and limbs and all these things. Of course, then how did tajseem and how did the anthropomorphists, basically mujassima or the anthropomorphists, their fikr is this, or this is what they believe, wal-iyadu billah ta'ala. وعلى آل سيدنا محمد. May Allah protect all of you from their blasphemy. But they believe, here are their sets of belief. And their belief, I will tell you where it's derived from in just a minute, but let me tell you what they believe. Number one, they believe that the Creator, or that Allah al-Iyadu billah ta'ala, is a man. Has a man shape, human being shape, man shape. Two hands, two feet, two eyes, two legs, lips, nose, mouth, everything, you name it, even hips. Everything, really, that's what they believe. Number one. Number two, they believe that He has a place. And that place is namely that He lives above the seventh heaven. He resides above the seventh heaven. Not only that, that He sits on a chair above the seventh heaven. So, one, two, three. And that everything that time applies to Him comes and goes according to times. Fills the sky and not fills the sky and all these things. Come to this earth and goes to that earth, etc., etc. Basically, this is what they believe. Moreover, they believe He is light. Nur as in light, they believe. Okay. Now, where did all these things come? Yani, where did they come from? And what is the point? If you actually go to the Torah and read the Torah, you will see that these beliefs are coming straight out of the current version of the Torah. All these beliefs are coming straight out of the current version of the Torah. And here are some examples. Type. Allah, Allah, Allah. The Torah says, these people first believe that God lives in heaven, and the Torah specifically, and that is in Genesis, that's the first chapter of Torah, the current Torah I say, Genesis, the third chapter, number 8. It says, here it says, then the man and his wife, referring to Adam alayhi salam. Of course, this is the current Torah now, huh? I'm not saying this is the Torah that Musa alayhi salam got. But anyway. And this is not just to see how they believe and how the Yahud belief came actually into some of our beliefs, wal-iyadu billah ta'ala, some of the Muslims. Anyway, it's referring to Adam alayhi salam. It says, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as He was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. The man and his wife, Adam alayhi salam and Hawa, look at what it says specifically. Go back to the Torah, Genesis chapter 3, number 8. And you'll see that very specifically, and that's from King James Version. So just so you know. It says, they have heard the sound of the Lord God. Number one, they say that God has sound. Number two, as He was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Allahu Akbar. Allah is walking in the garden. That means what? Encompassed right there in Jannah. And garden means, they mean Jannah. In the Jannah, He was walking. And Allah needs the cool of the day. Well, Allah subjected by the creation. And then they hid from the Lord God. Look at it. It keeps going, Genesis here. It says, they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Can anyone hide from Allah? No. But the Lord God called to the man where are you? He answered, I have heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from that tree that I commanded you not to eat from? The man said, the woman you put with me, she gave me some fruit from the trees and I ate. Salli ala Rasulullah. What the whole thing of that, and it's okay. We, in other words, we always like to have intellectual debates and exchanges with other people of other religions and other faiths. No problem. Not to degrade anybody or to mock anybody, but just to have intellectual exchange. No more nor less. We love and respect and have mercy on every human being, regardless whether they whatever they do. Allah gives them mercy. Allah gives them food and air and everything. And we don't do that. We actually are there to offer that mercy and extend it to everybody, because the only difference is ideological difference, and it's okay to differ ideologically, inshallah. And everyone has a point to give, and we try to get people to the true path, bi-idhnillah ta'ala, because we believe we are in a true path. So we have a message to deliver them, but not that we are degrading them or mocking them or anything like that. We don't have to do that. But what does this tell you? It tells you, number one, that they believe that Allah lives in heaven, or at least is limited by heaven in there, in Jannah. Number two, he walks like a man. And number three, he makes a sound when he's walking. Another one, it says that, and that's in Deuteronomy, that's another chapter in the Torah, still in the current Torah, Deuteronomy, go and see it. And again, King James Version, chapter 3, line 8. And this is what it says. I'm sorry, chapter 33, line 26. It says, there is no one, I quote now the Torah, the current Torah, says, there is no one like the God of Jeshurun. And this is actually to Yahya alayhi salam. They're saying, there is no one like the Lord, basically like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like God, they say, who rides on the heavens to help you and on the clouds. So therefore, that's where you see that they put that God is on the clouds, is because of this verse in the Torah. On the clouds. See him on the clouds, they put that picture on the clouds, and this is where it comes from. So they believe he's in heaven. First they said, he who rides on the heavens, he's on top of heavens, and on the clouds, and riding on the clouds. The clouds take him like a vehicle. That's their belief. Third belief. They believe that heavens are his place and his residence. And here's the proof. From Chronicles, again, another chapter in the Torah. And that is chapter 30 in the Chronicles, line 27. And here it says, I quote, the priests and the Levites stood to bless the people, and God heard them, for their prayers reached heaven, his holy dwelling place. Very explicit. Heaven, his holy dwelling place. And the question is this. Then, did God exist before heaven or not? If he did exist before heaven, if they say he didn't exist before heaven, that means heavens are before him. So heaven should be God, not him. If they say he existed before heaven, then where did he exist? Where? Which place? If you say he's in heaven now, then did he exist before heaven? If he did, where? There's no answer to that. But we have an answer to that. We say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God, the Creator, is not in need of a place to exist, because he's not a physical mass that needs a place to exist. Allah exists without a place. Because me and you need a place, he does not need a place. Because what needs a place? Let's face it, dear brothers and sisters. Every mass in physics, those of you who took physics, mass, every matter. And matter is mass that occupies space. Matter is mass that occupies space. But matter is a creation of Allah. And Allah, therefore, is not bound by the rules of matter, because he's the creator of matter. Tayyib. Fourth, they believe God is light. And here's the proof. In Daniel chapter 2, line 22, in the current version of Torah, it says, and I quote, "He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him." What is wrong with that? We believe that Allah is the creator of light. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَجَعْلَ الظُّلُمَاتِ وَالنُّورِ. He created light and darkness. Because He's the creation of light and darkness. He's the creator of nur and dhulumat. He cannot be attributed with either one, because He's their creator. Also, they emphasize again that God resides in heaven in Daniel 2:28. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. Again, we believe that God subhanahu wa ta'ala, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the creator of heaven, and He does not need a place to exist. Who needs a place to exist is the creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of anything, and everything is in need of Him. They also believe that God comes down and descends from heaven to planet Earth and dwells in it. And here is the proof. Matthew. And that Matthew, now that's the Bible, not the Torah. The New Testament, as they call it. The current one, of course. In Matthew 3:16, it says, At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning on him. So descending, coming from heaven, descending and coming up. This is what it is. Again, he was in the world. In John chapter 1, verse 10, it says he was in the world. And in, that means dwelled. And remember that the world, the universe, is a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The entire universe. From no matter how far the galaxies extend all the way, no matter how big that universe is, it's all a creation of Allah. It's all a place. And Allah is not in a place, because Allah does not need a place. Because all this creation, no matter how huge it is, no matter how big it is, no matter how vast it is, it's all a creation. And Allah existed eternally when nothing else existed. No creation, no earth, no heaven, no galaxies, no space, no place, no time, nothing. This is all a new creation. Allah created it. And Allah existed in eternity without a place. And He continues to exist everlastingly without a place, because He is not subject to change. And He is not in need of a place or anything else, but yet everything is in need of Him. And of course in John it says, God is light, nur. And in Islam we don't believe Allah is nur, as far as nur meaning light. Allah in the Quran says, Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. But the nur doesn't mean light. These are photons, dear brothers and sisters. Those who studied physics, they know that. Streaming photons. Allah is not that. Allah explains to you what He means by light. By nur, not light, because Allah is not light.
Allah nur al-samawati wal-ar. Mathal nurihi kamishkatin fiha misbah. Al-misbah fi zujajah.
Allahu nuru samawati wal ard, mathalu nurihi kamishka fiha misbah, misbah fi zujaja. And then all comes to the end and says,
yahdi Allahu li nurihi man yasha.
Yahdi Allahu li nurihi man yasha. Therefore, Imam Qurtubi and all the scholars, they say, an-nur means al-hadi, the one who guides you with to his deen. Not that He is a light, but it is Allah has given you an example of the light. If you have a flashlight in the darkness, you can be guided to the right path. And Allah, to His deen, He is the guide for all of us. So, inshallah, we will kind of stop here. But before that, I will tell you that this is basically where lately, the Muslims in the past 100 years, specifically in the last 50, 60 years more or less, they have drived this kind of belief that infiltrated
even in their own, the most sacred of faith, to believe, number one, that some, I'm not saying Muslims do that, but non-Muslims, that Allah looks like a human being, that Allah lives in a place above the seventh heaven, sits on a chair, that Allah descends and ascends, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a light, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resembles a man, and that Allah is on the clouds. All these things, are, of course, are beliefs of kufr, because all of them, they liken Allah to the creation. All of them, they make Him similar to the creation, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not similar to the creation. Therefore, this, let's say, Yahudi infiltration, whether it's on purpose or not on purpose. I mean, because right now, nowadays, you get educated from TV and from newspaper and from books, and whatever the background of those people is, you basically, it seeps in and it infiltrates, like the medication goes into the stomach of some person without knowing what the Quran subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And the Quran was very explicit in saying, anytime you attribute any of the attributes of creation to the Creator, it becomes blasphemy. Because then you're not believing in the Creator. You're believing in a creation that you envisioned. Therefore, Shafi'i, and I will end with this, Shafi'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, radhi anhu, says, if someone believes in God or in Allah, the Creator, and envisions something that he rests on, then he is mushabbih. That means he is kafir. He doesn't believe in Allah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be envisioned and or illusioned or delusioned, because nothing is like Him. So whatever you can imagine in your mind, Allah is different from that. Therefore, ascribing any attributes of the creation, and this is very important, we'll drill on it again, but we're running out of time, inshallah. Ascribing any attributes of the creation to Allah automatically invalidates Islamic belief, whether the people know it or they don't know it. Because at that moment, once that person ascribed, even in their mind, an attribute of the creation to the Creator, they departed the circle of Islam and they started worshipping something they imagined, not worshipping Allah. And that's why it's very dangerous. And that's why knowing about Tawheed, who we worship as Muslims, is extremely important. And we ask, why are we like this? Well, because we don't even know who we worship. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِهِ